The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Almost 300,000 hospital appointments were cancelled across the country last year. That's according to figures provided to Aintu through a parliamentary question. It represents a rise of more than 5% on 2023 cancellations. The largest number took place at Cork University Hospital, where just shy of 46,000 cancellations took place. That's up 139% on the previous year. The next highest were at the umbrella organisation of Children's Health Ireland, where there were more than 43,000 cancellations. It comes this morning as the Irish Patients Association exclusively reveals new research to News Talk on the first 3 months in the health service this year. Steve McMahon, co-founder and director of the Irish Patients Association and co-author of the EU Patients Charter, is on the line. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, first of all, the big headline, and it's across a number of the papers today, suggesting 300,000 appointments cancelled. That would not really be news to your organisation.
Definitely not. And it's been an issue going on for many years now. And, you know, no one can really identify what the real causes are. Do you know what I mean? Insofar as how many patients have been cancelled due to staffing problems, how many appointments have been cancelled due to overcrowding in EDs and so on. So it's very difficult to get the HSE to actually tie down what the underlying causes are. But in the real world of what this means is that if this was in the private sector, private consultant appointments being cancelled, it would be in the region of about 60 million euros of fees lost. And the reality is that many of these patients have been waiting years to get their appointment, and they're still sitting at home, anxious, listening to this programme this morning, wondering when are they going to get their appointment, as almost 100 appointments an hour are actually being cancelled.
Now, let's talk about the possible genuine reasons there might be. There might be people who cancel their own appointments, you know, can't make it for family reasons or whatever. There could be people who are on two or three waiting lists, hoping to get up to the top of one of them, and they do succeed and therefore drop off other waiting lists. But these would, I suspect, be really minority figures.
I would think so. And certainly from the report there of Aintu's numbers that they've made public, it appears that these are actually cancellations by the HSE. These are not the no-shows where patients, for some reason or other, haven't turned up to their appointment. And that's a whole other area that needs to be addressed. But the key thing here is that you know, we have to know why these are actually happening and allocate it. Because ultimately, one innovation we have asked the HSE as a member of the Emergency Department Task Force is that when a patient goes in as a critically ill patient into an ED department, that they ask the patient and establish, are you on a waiting list? Because we have a suspicion that quite a number of presentations at EDs are simply as a result of the patients having either waited too long to see a consultant or indeed are waiting too long for their operations.
Now, some of the numbers that you've collected for 2025 give us an indication that staffing may be at the heart of a lot of these cancellations, because you've looked at the total patient numbers on trolleys after public holidays in 2024 and then looked at the first public holidays for 2025. What did you find?
Indeed. What we did was we looked at the public holidays in 2024 and 2025, and clearly we can see that the trigger that caused the minister's action was after the St. Bridget's Day, when there was almost 800 patients on trolleys following that holiday. And then we heard a lot of talk about getting consultants to work the 6 out of 7 days, and particularly over the bank holiday weekends. So Patrick's Day showed a big reduction of 44%, and Easter Monday, the one we've just passed, dropped 20% versus the same day last year. But the real challenge here is that, you know, for the HSE to maintain those 20% reductions for the remaining public holidays, we're still only going to see a small reduction of 14%. And the issue is, as you pointed out there, is that when there's overcrowding in emergency departments, one of the actions is that they cancel both operations, specifically from the point of view of creating a bed for a patient in the ED department, and the person that's been waiting on the waiting list is deferred onto into a future date. And that is a problem. problem that can lead to preventable errors and all sorts of other issues. Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at the figures you've provided us with, and it is quite dramatic that we'll compare the trolley count 2024 to 2025. So in 2024, on New Year's Day, we had 571. That went up by 86 in 2025. I think it's the other way.
Yes.
571.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then, well, it's the 20, yes.
Then it goes up on St. Bridget's Day by 110 people on trolleys, more. Then St. Patrick's Day, it's down 289. And on Easter Monday, down 102. And the only change, really, that you can discern is consultant staffing on a six-day week.
Exactly. And the fact that there were senior managers on site to make decisions as needed during the bank holiday weekend, as Bernard Gloucester, the CEO of the HSE, had made comment on prior the Patrick's Day weekend. So it does have an impact in actually having, first of all, the staff rostered to meet the demand, and also then to have senior managers on site to be able to support whatever's happening in the operational side of things. And I would think that there's still a lot of scope for improvement there to maximise the capacity that's actually there, because we're spending hundreds of millions, if not billions, certainly in the hospital system, but certainly hundreds of millions both on waiting list initiatives and in the overcrowding problems that are happening in our hospitals.
Yeah. Now, when you start looking at the longer term trends, and maybe it'll take a little while for all of this seven-day working to kick in and have a big effect. But those waiting 0 to 6 months, that increased by 1.4%. Those waiting 6 to 12 months increased by 11.2%. Those waiting 12 to 18 months increased by 9.3%. Those waiting 18 months or more, up again. So people are waiting longer.
That is the problem. And just for clarity there, what we did was we compared it to the year end of 2024. So you could say it was the start of the minister's new role in health in the first quarter of 2025. And, you know, when we actually look at those figures, you're seeing those increases. And the worrying trend there is certainly any growth is bad, but the fact that people are waiting longer, more than 12 months, these are huge, significant increases, because it means that they haven't seen the consultant to establish, do you need more tests? Do you need to get, you know, do you need your operation and so on? And then you go on the outpatient waiting this for your surgery, and you could be waiting again another year or 2 years for that.
The general inefficiency in the way patients are treated, you know, if you go to certain consultants in the private sector, they'll say, you know, try to make an appointment. They say, well, what's your ailment? And you tell them what you think it is. And then they say, have you had your bloods done? And you say, no. So they say, well, don't even try to make an appointment until you've had your bloods done, because that'll compress the whole process. If you are in the public sector, you go in and they'll say, have you had your bloods done? Oh, no, you haven't. OK, well, off you go and come back to me. Do you know, it should be done in advance, and patients should be alert to a more efficient way of coping with this process.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, this sadly is the inequity in the Irish healthcare system. It's the apartheid in our healthcare system. That almost one in three people that can afford private health insurance, excuse me, are on some waiting list or other, versus practically zero with those that are fortunate to be able to continue paying for their private health insurance. And, you know, that is what happens, that it's a streamlined process. You see your GP, there's maybe tests that need to be done. You're referred to your private consultant, you contact them. They almost ask you, well, we may not be able to see you next week, but we can't see you the following week, and what time would be suitable. And you see a consultant. You don't see, as in the public system, a consultant-led system where you see maybe a registrar first and then it's referred back to the consultant to maybe make a decision and so on. And it's very complex, and we really need to have it streamlined. And the important thing here, I would stress, I would like to use the opportunity. Public patients who are waiting too long for their operations have a right under European law, the cross-border directive. And again, we've asked the HSC that if you've got staff issuing an appointment for a patient that's going to be a year, 2 years down the road, that you inform them at that time that you are entitled under European law to get access to that under the cross-border directive.
Now, looking at we've been talking about cancellations for consultant appointments. It doesn't necessarily mean surgery. But if you look at people who definitely need operations, it could be a hip, it could be a cataract, whatever it might be, the list, the waiting list actually rose between December 2024 and March 2025. It went up from 91,000 to 97,000.
Exactly.
In a short period of time. So tell me.
It's 6%, yes.
What's going on?
Well, you see, this is part of the problem. It's linked to the overcrowding in the ED departments, and it's the HSE there that they have staff shortages. Can you imagine, you know, booking a Ryanair flight or any airline, indeed, Aer Lingus or any other airline, and, you know, you're booked to go on a flight and they suddenly tell you, we can't do it because the pilot isn't there or the cabin crew aren't there for safety and so on, and the flight is cancelled. Like, but this happens to be on a regular basis.
Yeah, but what they've got to do, they've got to reschedule you as quickly as they can, and they also have to compensate you if it's an airline, but not if it's the HSE.
Clearly not. And I mean, again, I think that, you know, patients, we need more than simply, you know, polite apologies. You know, the public and patients need actions. You know, the IPA was launched many, many moons ago, Pat, in your previous incarnation. You were the one that gave us the first interview, and that's over 25 years ago. And we're still talking about similar sort of problems, both on governance and in accountability and in communications and in rights of equity of access and so on. And we still really haven't made the momentum that one would expect with such a long time. And it, you know, it's just totally unacceptable that we have these increases happening, as you say there. 18 months plus grew by 18%, and this is versus the December 24. And like these patients are waiting for hip replacements and God knows what else, and they're at home sitting there in pain and anxiety and so on, and they're not loose words. All it does is it drives people into the private sector if they can afford it, and makes it very difficult to have a unified Sláinte care system where everybody is going to be treated equally on the one waiting list.
Now, I want to read you some of the comments. We have a statement from the HSE in response to those cancellation figures. They said it's important to emphasise that the term cancellation in this context does not mean the appointment did not go ahead. Rather, it did not go ahead on the original planned date. And these appointments and procedures are rescheduled often within a short period of the original appointment. I don't know what they'll have to say when we contacted them about your figures, which you've just shared with us. This one, as an ex-nurse having worked in the outpatients department, the only way to reduce cancellation is to understand why there are cancellations, i.e. who's at fault, the HSE or indeed patients who cancel. It needs an independent study involving staff and patients. And that's from someone who worked in Cork University Hospital. The staffing is an issue, but also staff off sick. Why isn't the flu jab compulsory for HSE staff? I think only around 60% of frontline staff take the jab. That's from Sean. That's always, I have to say, Stephen, inexplicable to me that people who work in healthcare might be reluctant to take the jab. Now, if there's a jab to which they're allergic, I can understand it, but just it's common sense that they should get every jab that is appropriate. Nothing is anybody's fault and no one is to blame. The whole system is broken because it's set for the good of those working in it and not their customers, i.e. the patients. That's from Susan. I had the experience of being called fairly promptly to see a consultant in Sligo Hospital. Thereafter, I was called to Roscommon and Galway three times to see a consultant for the same issue, despite me calling each time to say, OK, I've seen a consultant. All patient files need to be digitised. This is the independent patient, the unique patient identifier. I suppose they'll call it a UPI. But we're still a long way off that, it would appear.
We're 7 years off that. The CEO of the HSE said, I think it would take nearly 7 years for us to have the electronic patient record fully operational. And in this day and age, you know, really that is not a very ambitious target to find acceptable when there are so many other examples around that have that sort of
technology. We're talking about, the Garda with his mobile phone will look at your car and know who's supposed to drive it, whether it's taxed or not, and whether it's got the NCT. They're talking about that for cars, but they can't do it for people.
Well, this is the thing, and may I just pick up on the comment there, and I'm going to be very honest about this, what the HSE said there about the term of what is cancelled. The issue there is that, you know, that's playing with words. The fact is that somebody was due either for an appointment or their operation and it didn't happen. The fact that it was scheduled in into the future doesn't, you know, dilute the fact that the appointment was actually cancelled, if I'm picking up the statement as you read out there, Pat. And that's not really acceptable. What we want is that the numbers are actually trapped and identified. And we have reached out to the minister back in early February for a meeting, and we're hoping to hear back later today. We're now nearly 12 weeks waiting for this feedback, you know, to discuss this and other matters, because, you know, the patient's voice is paramount. We hear everybody talking about it, but when it comes to actually, you know, holding the system to account and to actually improve it, it's not a question of trying to, you know, blame people. There are problems there. You mentioned one there, very important, which is the issue of flu immunizations amongst healthcare workers. I mean, everybody, we run an annual campaign for the last few years, you know, encouraging the flu vaccine for children. And, you know, here we have others then talking about the importance of vaccinations, and yet we see large numbers in the health system itself not availing of it.
Finally, we'll have some more comments. It's also very disjointed, the system. My husband died in July in a private hospital, received two separate letters for his follow-up appointments for scans in the public hospital. I can't understand how he's not recorded as deceased throughout. I had to call them on both occasions and tell them. I wonder how many cancellations are from similar scenarios. I was on a waiting list for over 2 years. A couple of months, got a call telling me I was being transferred to Belfast. I drove to Belfast from Wexford for a 15-minute appointment and then was told I might need to get another MRI because the one I had was over 2 years old and I might have to go to Belfast again to get that MRI. My 15-month-old son is also on a waiting list to see a paediatrician, and they say, he said he'd be on it for 9 months to see a baby. Won't be a baby anymore, it'll be a toddler, and things change very quickly for babies. Anyway, Stephen, I'm glad you've got this new research and hope it puts pressure on the HSE to try ultimately to sort this out and do it more quickly than their history would suggest they can.
Thank you, Pat. God bless.
Thank you very much. All the best.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.